First, let me thank everyone again as we go into this episode, because this is a very important episode, because this branches off of into some more segments that I'm going to be uploading and also involving some of my faithful listeners in on. But it's about, where are we at today? I mean, look around, all the misinformation, all, you don't know whether this one's lying, that one's lying, the confusion, the lack of direction, the lack of a vision, the lack of a heart, the lack of the love for your fellow man, your fellow woman. Everyone jockeying to be important. So I want you to take time out right now and set aside and listen in to this podcast and know that we're going to have parts 2 and 3, and maybe we'll go into a bigger one. I don't know. But it's something that has to be addressed today, folks, because it's too much of it. If you look at it, not only is there a disconnect in what life is about, there's a disconnect in what history says about life, the importance of life. It seems as if the enemy is jockeying right now. This is that time to check what you believe and what you know. So I want to make sure that we understand from another look what hypocrisy is and how it hurts and how it is important, imperative, that understanding is what is sought and not just another bit of information. You have to have something to base that information off of. And I hope tonight that this podcast will just help you out just a little bit. All right, thank you, and we'll get right into it. Thank you. Another look at hypocrite. Be blessed.
Sometimes we explain the word hypocrite. Our definition of the word hypocrite, even the sharing of the word, we explained it as someone who pretends or some imitation or some fake, or, you know, we add all kind of things like requiring of people when we don't live that life, you know, living one way on Saturday and another way on Monday, on Sunday, you know, that's how we've explained and we've learned hypocrite and hypocrisy. And, you know, I think that's a modern interpretation and understanding of what we mean. Because in that sense, you could actually learn to change or hide some of those characteristics if it wasn't deeper than our explanation of it at this time. If it was something as simple as the things that we've defined it as, even going as far as saying it's an attitude, we can almost tap into where we think it comes from without crossing that line. See, we say it's an attitude, and we explain an attitude. Now remember, an attitude is something you can't see. So all you're really explaining are the actions that you see on display from that attitude. For example, someone is angry, they lash out. There's an outward expression of that attitude. To the best of our understanding, we explain, they must be upset. Why? Because of what we see, what we understand by what we see. Someone is sad, they cry, they mourn, they get taken aback, something, you know, somebody's depressed. I mean, someone that's in an emotional, sad state of sadness. We see tears, we see they're withdrawn, we see they don't want to be bothered, we see almost a nonchalant but don't care expression coming out of them. And I'm saying that when we spoke of a hypocrite and we defined hypocrite, we defined it based upon that culture at that time and their understanding of what it meant to them. So we've interpreted hypocrite, we've even taught it, we've even preached it, we've even shared it. But once again, here on PSM COR, we want to take another look. And this is just walking down the street. You know, years and years, you know, while you're walking and meditating and, I don't know, even singing or whatever, shooting a jive sometimes. Maybe sometimes there's a message in there. A moment of clarity, a moment of understanding for the things that have went on in life. It's finally a time when the pieces can be aligned within. It comes a time when the pieces that you've collected over the years through experience, through information, begin to line up. And you've given your soul, your man, the man part, the real you, an opportunity to get a word in, if you will. And the understanding that comes from the word that you finally allowed you, not the form, not the pompous, not the prideful, not the one that display all those attributes, but the one God created, finally gets to get a word in. And at times you'll see yourself say, wow, like you were impressed by you. And I know we've all had these experiences, or if you haven't, God forgive me, but you have had times where you just had a thought and it was like blew your mind, but it came from within. It didn't come from without. There are times when you hear people say things and it's like, wow. But there's times when you just walking down the street by yourself and a thought just comes to mind and it's like, wow. That's understanding, that's standing, that's a moment of clarity. That's actually the opportunity to change and move some pieces around within your life. But back to headed down that road. When we utilize, and I'm going to skip right back to hypocrite. When we utilize hypocrite and we see where we're getting from, people will use that as an expression to judge others. But if you look at it, he didn't say in scripture to the Pharisees or to Sadducees or whoever were around at that time, and it would have to be someone that was learned, and I didn't say educated, I said learned in the scriptures. It had to be someone who knew better individually. I'm not talking about collectively, that knew better. And he said, you hypocrites, you. Yeah, the whole group. But you know who he's talking to within that group. He didn't say all of you were. He said, you hypocrites. If the shoe fits, wear it. Your hypocrisy is not for me to determine. God already determined it. It's not my position to judge it. For God already judged it. How did he judge it? He judged it within them. They knew. They deal with the torment. They deal with the appreciation or the light feeling if they obeyed or they responded to what they knew or not. But they know. So you hypocrites, that tells me, speaking deeper than just to what they were displaying or doing, because they could have changed. Or, as I said earlier, hid, renamed what it is they were doing that was deemed hypocrisy to the natural man. I believe that today it lined up for me. The hypocrite. It didn't come out as a hypocrite. It said, the life you think you want or the life you think you have That's how it came up. Your life and your expectation. And it showed this line right here. You deem someone a hypocrite when they don't live up to your standard of expectation. You deem someone a hypocrite when they let you down or someone you love down. You deem someone a hypocrite when they move forward as far as the ladder in life in our eyes is concerned, and you begin to say, they ain't what them people think they are. I remember they did this. I remember they did that. You deem them a hypocrite based upon, again, our modern day understanding. But my expectation of them, puts me in the judgment seat. My expectation of those individuals then place me in a seat of judgment. Now, I'm going to continue on, but let me stay right there for a second. As I sit in that seat, my expectation of them is based upon where I suppose my understanding has me right now, that I even feel or have the audacity to feel like I can judge them as far as calling them a hypocrite. As I sit there, I set the standard. I set the standard. Not God, not the word, but I set the standard. And I expect them to live up to my standard. Yet I don't remember the pit out of which I was dug. Because when I was in that same, whatever we call it, position that they are, or wherever we believe that they are in life, it was hard for me to live up to someone else's expectation. It was hard. So we tend to forget the pit out of which we were dug as we sit in that seat. We tend to forget the struggle. We tend to forget the pain. That's why you'll hear so many later on in life say, man, I was too hard on them. Man, I should have cut them some slack. The only thing that brings those words out is, again, back to sitting in that seat and forgetting the pit out of which you were dug. How hard it would have been to obtain information, the correct help, how you had to sort through the junk of life at that time. But yet again, we expect of them, we set the standard at where we would deem them a hypocrite, the standard of where that yellow light in your car, good example, that yellow light in your car comes on when you need gas. That's that point that says, you've reached the point that I gotta say something, you've gotta do something. So we've set the standard for those individuals. And as we sit in that seat and we deem others hypocrite, scripturally, why could Jesus deem them hypocrites? He's the one that will judge them. He's the one that judges. Okay? That's later on. And you know that from scripture if you can follow me. If not, a few of our other podcasts will go into it. Or if you want to know like now, we can put together a meeting room. But back, right thing to do. You cannot be a hypocrite if you do not know the right thing. So they knew who he was based upon their expectation. Founded in prophecy. Now, and as he judged them, it also put him in a place. As a man of judgment, to be observed. Are you credible? I don't want to get into the oneness doctrine, but it all flows right into it. But at that point of him exercising judgment, where in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke about not judging, lest you be judged. So you see the whole understanding of who was judging them, who was saying the word hypocrite. Be not as the hypocrites, the ones that know better. Be not as the hypocrites, the ones that have the ability and the wherewithal to do better. Don't be as the hypocrites that know that they should do better, that they have the ability and wherewithal to do better. But as Paul said, it's just not there. There's a war in my members. And as Paul said, there's a war in my members. There's a war in everyone's members. That only the sacrifice at Calvary, the resurrection, could grant the ability, the strength to win in that battle. See, they had the pieces. But they were educated in it. And we're going to step back here because I don't want to elaborate on that. It gets very deep when we start recognizing that the words that our Lord spoke, well, to some, and it's not in the sense of he has a master or anything like that. Don't even, again, we can talk about that later. But the words that were spoken were not throwaway words. They were not just frivolous words. They weren't vain, as Solomon talked about. They weren't a waste of time, vexation of spirit, empty words. They were life. He said, my words, they are life. So every word that came out meant something. There were no jaw-jacking or child's play in the words of my Lord Jesus while he was here. Now I want to say again, as I was going today, now I'm taking it back to today. We've shared our example, now we're taking it back to today. And as I was thinking about that, I was, wow, so if you're in that seat and you set a standard, you're a hypocrite because, well, another reason, another part, you're still working on yourself. Let me delve into that one. If you are still on the road to improvement, you may see, excuse me, results from your exercise, your diet, your learning habits, your yoga, your Pilates, whatever it is, the way you deal with your children, however, you may see success in that. And you begin to share that with others. Well, this is very good. I'm very glad that I can do this, and this was very helpful, and it worked, and I would advise, and I would advise, and I would advise. But as you went on, you forgot to tell them that 6-7 years down the line, as the fruit of your labor start to come out, it wasn't what you thought it would be. But now you've set tons of people on a path to end up with the exact same results. Now you're changing. But that expectation that you set, or that you advised, or that whatever it was that you, as you continued to change, whatever you deemed the point, there you set the bar.